We were talking about latching onto those promises. And Brett came in and began to speak of the love of the Father. Do you know what the first and greatest promise of God is? The first and greatest promise of God, you know what it is? I'll be a father to you and you'll be a son to me. That was his promise to Abraham. He gave him a lot of other promises, but the very first promise that he told him was, I'll be a father to you and you'll be a son to me. He told Israel, I'll be a father to you and you'll be a son to me. That's the most significant promise, because that encompasses, everything comes with that. That's the promise you make to your boys, David. You don't tell them, man, you come to me and I'll provide you 3 squares a day and a good house and a place to sleep and a room and all of this and a chance at an education and all that stuff. That stuff comes with it, but your promise to them is, if you come, I'll be a father to you. Guarantee you, if I ask Marvin, what is David to you? He'll say, he's a father to me. Ask Giovanni, who's David to you? He'll say, he's a father to me. When we get that, we get everything that comes with it, guys. Bill Johnson says, when Jesus comes, he brings his world with him. And when the Father comes, he brings his world with him. Are y'all okay for a second? Are y'all good for a second? Y'all mind playing for a second? Somebody help me with where my Bible's at. Where? Ah, here it is. Yeah, grab that, Brett. I'm going to turn it over to David in just a second, but I've got a word I got to release. Thank you, brother. In Hebrews 11, it's the faith chapter, and we preached on it last week and pulled out a lot of stuff. But in this, it's talking about Moses. And it said, faith enabled Moses to choose God's will, for although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity. Where you're born will try to label you. Your church background will try to label you. Who your family is will try to label you. I don't mean that negative. I just mean that you get labeled that. I'm Ed Garner's son. I'm labeled with that. Moses grew up in the house of Pharaoh as Pharaoh's daughter's son. He was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means he was raised as Pharaoh's grandson. But he refused to make that his identity, choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. Now listen to this. This is what I want to bring out. Moses preferred faith certainty. Let that phrase weigh on you. Faith certainty. It seems like such a contradiction. If anything, his future was secure in the house of Pharaoh. Would it not be? He was Pharaoh's grandson. His future was mapped out. His wealth was planned out. His power was planned out. His life's destiny was planned out. It was a sure thing. But the word said that he preferred faith certainty. I don't know about y'all, but in the natural, I don't see nothing about his future. You're going to wind up on the backside of Midian tending sheep for 40 years. You're going to have an encounter with God in the form of a burning bush. You're going to have a word to go back to Egypt and to deliver the whole Israeli nation out of Egypt. And you're going to have conflict with Pharaoh. And then you're going to go and you're going to come up against the Red Sea with an army behind you. And you're going to walk across on dry ground. And then you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness leading a group of people, seeing signs and wonders, and dealing with humanity and all of this. And in the natural, that is the most uncertain thing I can imagine. But the writer of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, says he preferred faith certainty. You know, the only guarantee, the only certainty that I can latch on to in life is that he'll be a father to me and I'll be a son. And I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, but I know he's going to be there. I don't know what 5 years is going to look like, but I know he's going to be there. I know that my faith, man, is going to flourish and thrive in the presence of my Father. And he has future, and he said, I know my thoughts towards you. That's what he promises. I know my thoughts towards you. Later on in chapter 12, he tells us, he says that for the path has been already marked out before us. David, we were talking yesterday, and I said, what happens when the boys all get of age and move out? Even if you take in some more boys, you told me, you said, I'm not going to take any younger than the youngest one. That's your plan anyway. Maybe not be God's plan, but that's your idea. And so we were talking about what it looks like after that. And we don't know. You don't know, but he knows. All he wants you to do is embrace the certainty of a faith life as a faith man. And that's what Abraham's life was all about. He was a faith man. He said, I will show you a land that you know not of. I'll take you to things and I'll show you things you've never seen, you've never even thought imaginable. The word says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard. But you know whose eye has seen, you know who ear has heard? Jesus. Father God. He knows everything about what's next, Mary, in your life. And he wants you to choose the certainty of faith. Not the certainty of a career path. I want you to get a plan. Your mom and dad want you to get a plan. Say, I think this is how I want you to be proactive and all this. But at the end of the day, there's certainty in our faith. There's certainty in our future in our faith. And he said, Moses chose the certainty of faith. We talk about faith news and we talk about faith this and faith that and agendas and narratives and all of that stuff. I tell you, the only thing that is real is found in him. And it's in a heavenly realm. It's a kingdom realm, and that's what I'm pursuing. That's what you guys are pursuing. That's the certainty of our future. That's the certainty of where we live in him. So I want you to embrace the certainty of faith. You say, man, this faith thing is a woo, who knows? No, it's a sure thing. Certainty in it, hey, Randy. Certainty in it. He banked his life on it. I banked my life on it. Many of you banked your life on it. The certainty of our faith. unshakable, unmovable, a tree planted by the waters that He nourishes, that He takes care of, that He provides sunshine, that He provides everything that it needs. It's the certainty of faith. That's what you launched out into 14 years ago, David. David's been in Honduras. I'll lead it, use this as a lead in to him. He's been in Honduras 14 years. He went down there as a 21-year-old young man. And he just said yes. And it's been a road full of surprises. But it's been a road of certainty. This is who He is. And He's faithful. And He's just. And He is worth it all. He is worth it all. It's what our lives are supposed to look like, Brent. Whether it's in the mission field, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the school, whatever it looks like. That's what our life's supposed to be. Preferred face certainty. And it went on and talked about his life, and it said, because he persisted in faith as if he had seen God who was unseen. He lived his life as if he had been face to face with Yahweh. Mouth to mouth. That's what intimacy is. It's face to face. It's mouth to mouth. And it said that Moses lived his life as a man that had seen that. Let that be us. Let that be us. Let that be us. That's the air I breathe, Beth. That's the air we breathe. It's face to face. I live my life as a man who has seen God face to face. Got anything, baby? Marty, you got anything, brother? You good? You want to introduce David? Tell him who he is to you.
Come here. Instant in season, out of season, brother.
Well, yeah, sometimes I. Now, it is David Lowe that we met maybe how long? Since in 2009. I met David in 2009, and at that time he was a full-time missionary living there, and you know, I just wasn't raised up around missionaries. I mean, we gave to Lottie Moon, and that was the closest I've ever been to a missionary. I didn't know what missionaries were. So I look at him and I said, well, what do you do? I mean, how do you live? How do you make a living? What do you do? So anyway, that was my first time I'd ever met him. So I've been asking him questions ever since. So I met him there, and I guess years later, just through some mutual friends, we just began to work together. And Sid mentioned that he and David had talked, and that was David's plan was, you know, not to take any boys younger than his youngest in. So that would put him raising kids for another, like, 12 years. And just thinking, and he told me the same thing, and wondering what his world may look like in 12 years, or just thinking along those lines. And my comment was, after that conversation, is that I hope it includes us. Because no matter where he is, because we're more than just I want him to do well, right? I want him to be able to go and fundraise and raise all kind of money and all those things. But beyond that is that we're connected. First time that we actually began to work together and kind of do life together, I was drawn to his heart. And that's where we were connected. Just what Sid and I have been in a conversation just about with a study that actually we're doing as a body of what church might look like or what it could look like and what it does look like. And I think the early church, they were connected beyond just acquaintances. They got to know each other. They became family. So when they become family, it's you kind of look over some of the flaws instead of getting mad and being judgmental in them. You look over them because you're family. You're going to do this thing, right? David probably looks at me and sees a lot of flaws, but we're connected. To me, David is a guy with a big heart. That's what drew me to him, and that's what's connected us since, however many years that is. My math teacher can figure that out. But David is a good friend. He loves his boys. He loves Honduras. He loves serving groups that we bring down and others bring down, and he brings down. He definitely has a servant's heart and loves his boys and loves life, and he's a really good friend. And he's helped us a lot. Come on up here, David. He's helped Krista and I a lot just because, in a lot of ways, because I do ask him tons of questions and what should we do and all those things. But he's a young guy, but he really does have a lot of wisdom to be not a dad personally, physically, or offspring. I don't know what that's called, biological. But he is definitely a father and a great big heart, and we love this guy.
Thank you, Marty Smith. I'm David. I grew up in Melbourne, Florida, and something that you guys don't know about me, and that is, like, there was a movie a couple of years ago called Instant Family where a family wanted to adopt a kid, and they had to wind up adopting a sibling group. Cried my eyes out in that movie about the dad figure, and I cried my eyes out today with you and Sid, and so it helps me relate to God and how I want my boys to see me and how I want my boys to see God. And so it was a good service today. cried my eyes out. So I've lived in Honduras for 14 years. I started going to church when I was 13. My parents didn't go to church. I started going with a neighbor. He lived down the street. His name was Thomas. There's my boys. One of them's not pictured. I'll explain that in a little while, but so started going to the Church of Christ at 13, was baptized, went through junior high school, started going on mission trips in 2002, and that's when I fell in love with Honduras. I had gone to Honduras, Nicaragua, and Guyana, and Honduras, it just captured my heart. I didn't necessarily want to run a boys' home. I wanted to do the group things like Martin Chris to do, be the on-the-ground guy to find house sites, work projects and things like that for the groups to do. I love the logistics of it and sometimes the craziness of it. God had a different plan. When I first moved there, I moved in with another missionary, and she had three young men, Carlos, Saul, and Eduardo. Carlos went through high school, did some college classes, wound up getting a girlfriend and having my grandson, Noah, and actually wound up moving out 2 years ago. They lived with us for about 4 years. They helped me run the ministry, did like my transportation for the boys back and forth to school. And then in 2015, I had to kick out Eduardo. He decided he didn't want to go to school anymore and he didn't want to get a job. And I said, well, there's the door, buddy. But Eduardo has turned his life around over the years and actually went through a preaching program, is now a preacher in Santa Ana, Honduras. So we're pretty proud of him. And then Saul, I'll talk about Saul in a minute. But I didn't plan to raise boys. The lady that I lived with at the time needed to move back to the States. Her mom had gotten cancer. So she said, I can send the boys back to their parents or they can stay with you. And I said, well, I'm the one doing all the cooking and cleaning and homework, so they might as well stay. And so that's how I started bringing in young men. I have a group. I'll just start talking now. You can go and go to the next slide. A little bit about our ministry will be up on the screen. We help boys that are at risk. We want to make sure that they have opportunity to find God, whether they want to be a Christian, a Catholic, or I want them to find their religion. I mean, if we're talking about something like Buddhism or something, we don't want that. But we want them to be able to find their way with Christ, and we're not picky. Education, we want them to be able to get an education if that's what they want, or go through some type of training to be an electrician or a plumber or something like that. You can go to the next slide as I'm talking about the boys. Henry is currently our oldest that lives in the house. He graduated in November as a lawyer. Something cool and horrible, but the way God has changed Henry's life is pretty awesome. Henry came to live with us when he was about 14. He had grown up in a children's home because when he was four, his dad killed his mother. They were in a gang. And so it's pretty cool to see what God has done. He wanted to come and live with us. His older brother, Christian, at the time lived with us. And he couldn't stop smoking pot, so I had to kick him out. But in between that, Henry asked to come and live with us. He had lived at a children's home and was going through a high school program, but he wanted to go to one near our house where he could graduate with a teaching certificate. So I said, sure, come on. So he, after the set of three brothers, Henry was the next guy to come and live with us. Like I said, he went through high school, got his teaching certificate to teach elementary education, and now has become a lawyer. And so we're pretty proud of him for that. In Honduras, you have to do 6 months of like an internship kind of thing, and basically be like a public defender for free. So he started that back in October, and so I think it ends in March. So then he'll be out looking for a job. He asked if I was going to kick him out once he gets a job, and I said no, but I'll give you a few months to get on your feet, and then you can help me pay rent. So you can't live here for free after you're done with school. He's great with the boys. He's great with the younger boys. He loves to help them with their homework and things like that. So he's an asset to keep around. I think next is Saul. Yep. Saul was my baby. He was the little boy of the set of three brothers that I took in. He came in when I moved there. He was about 8 or 9 years old, and he went through high school. He's taken some college classes, but Saul hit a rough patch. He started drinking, and last year when I was here fundraising, he decided to throw a party at my house. So I spoke at my church in Melbourne, and that afternoon I got on a video call and I said, you got 2 hours to pack your bags. We'll talk about it when I get home. I know what you did. And so he's had a growing experience. He now works at a call center. If any of you have Xfinity Mobile or Xfinity Cable, you might be talking to him, so be nice. He is excelling at his job. He started out as a base employee and now is like a team leader, so he's pretty excited. He's got his own little apartment, and we still help him with college classes, but other than that, he's on his own. But I still love him, and he was actually the first boy to call me dad. So, yeah. Next. the next group of boys you're going to see is a group of six brothers. And I knew them. I met them first at a children's home when I used to go on teams back in 2005 and 6. Giovanni is the oldest of the brothers, and he's always had to be the protector. Their dad was an alcoholic and abusive. He actually went to jail for killing someone, which is why they were placed in the children's home in the beginning. But he's always had to be the protector, the one to defend his brothers, defend his mother. And so, and he still has that characteristic about him today, sometimes to his detriment. He thinks he is the best at everything. We're pretty proud of him, though. He graduated in 2018, valedictorian of his class, and now has a scholarship, a partial scholarship, to go to Lindenwood University outside St. Louis, Missouri. So we're pretty proud of him. Next is Marvin, who Sid spent some time with recently. Marvin is 22 and also graduated valedictorian of his class. All of these boys have gone through a bilingual school, so they speak Spanish and English, and so we're pretty proud of them for that. Marvin got a partial scholarship to go to Zamorano University. It's an agricultural university right outside the capital city, And it actually is partnered with Texas A&M. So in his last semester next year, he'll be able to come to the States and spend 6 weeks at Texas A&M doing work and things like that. So we're pretty proud of him. Next is, what do you call him? No, but you, GQ. Mario thinks he is hot stuff. And he's my most sarcastic boy. He knows how to, like, his English is the best, and he knows how to joke around with you. So if you're coming on the trip in a couple weeks, look forward to joking around with him. Mario did not graduate valedictorian of this class. He graduated in 2020, and we all know that 2020 was COVID, and he did not like the online school. But ironically, he wanted to study online after he graduated, and he is studying online at a school out of Nashville, learning computer coding, like how to make cell phone apps and websites and things like that, and he is loving it. He actually sent me a text this morning. He was driving to church, and he broke down in my truck. I showed Marty the picture right before worship started, so if you saw me on my phone frantically texting, I was trying to find a tow truck and make sure he was all good, but he's a good boy. Next is Francisco. Francisco is 18, and this guy loves Fortnite. anything Fortnite. Before I came to the States, I asked the boys, you know, just some questions, just to have something to talk about while I was up and talking. And I said, what do you want to do after you graduate next year? Because in Honduras, I should have said this from the beginning, the school year runs from February to November. So my boys are starting school next week. And he's going to be a senior. He is currently the top of his class. But I asked him, what do you want to do after you graduate high school? Well, I've seen on TikTok and Facebook that a lot of people are taking like a gap year. I want to take a gap year. I said, you ain't taking no gap year. That's not a thing in this house. You can go out and get a job, or you can take a gap. No, you're not taking a gap year. What are you going to do, sit around and play Fortnite all day? And so he said yes. Nope. So we talked about just start taking some general ed college classes and trying to figure out what he wants to do with his future. Next is Jairo. Jairo is 16 and has hit a growth spurt. He used to be about this tall for probably the last 5 or 6 years. And now I had to buy some pants for him while I was in the States because he was wearing high waters. He wants to be either a professional soccer player or a professional Fortnite player, which I don't think that exists, but he's promised me it does. And my next two, Miguel, and Miguel is 12, going into the sixth grade. He had a 98 overall percent average for the year last year, and so did his brother Angel, the next one. Angel is a little liar. before the year of COVID, they started school in February, and it was actually when I was in the mountain with you guys, I think. When I came home, I had to sign his agenda to catch up, and I noticed there was a lot of whiteout. And so I took a picture and I sent it to the teacher and I said, did you do all this whiteout in his agenda? She said, nope. So I sat down with him and I said, Angel, why is there so much whiteout in your agenda? And he said, well, she wrote a bad note and I didn't want you to see it. And I said, well, what'd you do? And he said, I cheated on my test. Angel. So we had a long talk and we're still working through that, like the deceitfulness, but he's 11 years old. He's got time. So those are my boys. You can go to the next slide. Like I said, my original plan when I moved to Honduras was to help the group build houses, medical clinics, things like that. And I still get to do that for the most part pretty often. Obviously because of COVID, not so much. But I'm excited this year that groups are starting to come back slowly. And I'm excited to work with you guys next week. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. Yeah, there's information if you'd like to donate. We are in the process of trying to raise money for back-to-school costs. Like I said, Giovanni has a partial scholarship. We have to pay about $11,000 a year for him, $11,000 a year for Marvin, and about $6,000 for the year for the four boys that are still in elementary and high school. So we have a lot of needs right now. If you'd like to help, that'd be great. And thanks for the opportunity to speak this morning.
Amen. David's kind of brutally honest on his boys, isn't he? They're good boys. I've had the pleasure of spending time with some of the older ones, and They're solid, man. The average kid in Honduras goes through the sixth grade. And all of David's boys are not only excelling in high school, but are going beyond that, whether it be at university or, you know, with the computer coding and different things like that. So David's doing an outstanding job with the boys in that capacity. That's how you help shape a community, a culture, a country, is by educating and getting people in positions of influence, positions of being able to come in and have a big impact. And so, you know, living larger than subsistence living. And all these boys are excelling in that and growing in that, you know. And so I'm real proud and confident in what David's doing with these guys and that. I'll share just a second on what David is to us, besides the boys. And once you meet the boys, I think Mario's going to be with us on the mission trip when we're down. So we'll get to, any of you guys that are going, y'all get to hang out with Mario. I call him GQ, you know, Gentleman's Quarterly, the, you know, Rico Suave type deal and all that. But y'all get to spend time with him. But the thing that really has captured our heart toward David is David's heart to serve. You know, David, from the moment we touch ground in Honduras, David's there. And whatever capacity needs to be done, you know, if it's driving a truck, then he drives a truck. If it's an interpreter, he's our interpreter. If it's giving out food bags, some of the things that he didn't talk about while, you know, while COVID was shutting down groups and all that, you know, what his boys were doing out, they were distributing food bags and all. What did y'all do, over 1,000 food bags?
Over 13,000.
I'm sorry, 13,000 food bags that they distributed in the, around Tegucigalpa during the COVID, when people are struggling just to survive. And yes, when the hurricane came through, man, they're cleaning mud out of houses and things like that. So they just got a real heart to serve. And we absolutely love that about him. Just a super humble guy. And, you know, I think he undersells it sometimes. He undersells himself sometimes. And so we're big fans and glad God connected us. You know, it's pretty cool. You know, David made a statement a while ago in religion, be like, oh, wait a minute, when he said we let them find their own path. He's not talking about being, you know, Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist or anything like that, but within the Christian faith. And, you know, I think it's cool the way God brings people together from different backgrounds and different, I don't know the proper word, not denomination, but whether it's Catholic or Church of Christ or whatever. And I've met and served alongside of all of them and been very impressed. And it comes down to an individual's personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've met some extremely impressive Catholic brothers in Peru, laying hands on people and praying for the sick and things like that. And, man, they just love Jesus. And, you know, we can come in and we can say, well, he's different than us, and he's different than us. I promise you, you're different than what David grew up in and has been around. And but we've all got the, you know, the word says one Lord, one faith, one baptism in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. And, you know, I guess that's the thing I love about him. It's just he's just got a big heart, and he lets God flow through that big heart. And so we're thankful God connected us several years ago now, and that we all get to do life together. So, you know, that's kind of who he is. Baby, anything you want to add? Krista, you need correcting or anything? You want to talk about anything?
You're good.
You want to share anything? You sure? Okay. All right, cool. Well, you guys are going with us in a few weeks. Y'all get to spend a lot of time with David. He does snore, I'll tell you that, though. So be warned. Yeah, sound machine's your best friend. So it's all about tent placement, where you put your tent, you know, as you want to shift it around. But, well, let's stand to our feet. Oh, it does have coffee?
Yes.
How much coffee did you bring?
I think I got like
10 bags. 10 bags? Lori, get us a couple bags before everybody gets that. Oh, just kidding. I love good coffee from Central and South America. Just kidding. Y'all get it. I can get some more in a few weeks when I go down. So y'all get it. It'll be good. It's a good day in the house today. The Father's love was just stunning today, wasn't it? Wasn't it stunning? Oh, man, everything's done closed up. I was going to share one more thing with you. But we'll catch it next week. Brett, love, love, love what God's doing in you right now, brother.
Yes.
Thrills me.
Yes.
Really does. Thank you for being pliable and yielding to the Father to come in. You know, in that scripture in Hebrews 12, after the faith chapter, he talks about basically the Father coming in and training us and cutting on us and all of that stuff. And he said, but that's the way that we know we're sons and not strangers, because the Father does cut on us, and he does woo us, and he does draw us and all of that. So thank you for the yielding place you're in right now. It's a cool place. As Brett said this a while ago, he said it's painful, and I said, yeah, but it's glorious. When we were with him a few weeks ago, we and him did lunch together, and we were sitting down talking. He said, man, this is painful. I said, yeah, but it's glorious too. It's glorious when the Father's hand is at work in our lives. That is glorious. So I pray y'all all be still and yield to him, okay? Because he wants to do it in every single one of us. Every single one of us. Well, you guys have an awesome week this week. And if you've got life group going on, enjoy life group. Just really, I challenge you, jump in, plug into life group, and let it connect you with each other. The studies are good, but it's bigger than just the study. Let it connect you with the people that you're in life group with. And y'all have an awesome time with that. Remember, we got the youth ski trip coming up in a couple weeks. I think the youth and Ignite are both meeting next Sunday night. We've been having good turnout and just good stuff with that going on. Excited about that. And we've got a big group going to Honduras. Really excited about that. We got like 20-something people from the church going to Honduras. So it's gonna be pretty cool. One thing I want you guys to right now, if you're whether you're going or you're not going, a big part of this, what I want us to do, I feel a real, real strong push on this. We're going to have like 7 drivers that are going to be with our group, because we go down and we rent trucks, four-wheel drive trucks, because when we go to the mountains, we got to go drive through rivers and all of that stuff. It's cool, but we're going to have like 7 trucks to carry us and the goods and the food and all of this stuff up there. And those drivers will be embedded with us. That's the best word I can come up with. They'll be embedded with us for like 6 days. And I want you right now, us as a house, and especially you guys that are going, y'all, Nick, you start praying right now that God, we would have a profound impact. That God would have a profound impact on these guys. David's going to be one of them, but we're going to have 6 Hondurans that are going to be driving, and they're going to be there every step. They'll be helping us prepare food, and they'll be ministering to people as far as being alongside while we're doing these things. So I just pray that it has a profound impact on them. And if they don't have a relationship with God, it would be a gateway for them to come into relationship with God. And if they are saved and do have a relationship with him, that it would further advance who they are. Who they are. Okay, I'll never forget, and I'll share this and I'm done, I promise. I'll never forget the first feeding we did, that the children, they came up and we did the feeding with the kids and all of this. And then we were getting ready, I think, to leave the next day, and we all got in a circle and we were about to pray together. And one of the guys that had been with us, Hector, and my grandkids love Hector, and he's working with another ministry now, pretty much full time, which is awesome, man. I love that. And he was there, and we were about to get in a circle, and we were about to pray with Jesse and her family and all of these guys and everything, pray for them and all of that. And Hector was kind of back on the periphery over here. And I looked back at Hector and I said, come on up, man, come on up. And, you know, I don't speak Spanish and he doesn't speak much English, but I said, familia, we're all family. And he came in and began to pray. I saw a big tear rolling down his cheek because language didn't matter and background didn't matter. But you know what mattered was the love of the Father, and it was touching his heart just like it was touching my heart. And I pray that we have that kind of Holy Spirit's allowed to do that. So y'all just start, okay, y'all start praying for that now, okay? It's going to be awesome, awesome. So we're good. We got anything? We good to go? Awesome. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Hey, Courtney, you want to dismiss us this morning, brother?